been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
Hello, and welcome to the Thursday, June 4th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I am Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today. I've got a sore throat for the man. Not good for the for the radio or the podcast program. So, well, we're looking at a bit of a mixed open, mostly a down open, I guess. We've got the Dow leading the way up 1.56%. That's 795 points on the Dow. It's 51,482. I've got to look and see what's driving that here. Pretty big outperformance there. S&P 500 down 0.2%, down 14 points to 7,537. And we've got the NASDAQ down 1%. Some pressure there. We'll get into Broadcom here in a bit, but down 282 points. Crude oil down 3.7%, so must have had some decent news, or at least not any bad news over in Iran. And we'll keep an eye on that one throughout the show. I've got gold up 1.4%, just under 4,500 at the moment, and Bitcoin still under 6,500, basically flat today, and up $52, I believe. So. Again, welcome to the Thursday, June 4th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I am your host, Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today. Got some interesting topics on the docket today. We've seen some pressure on some of the AI names. It looks to be another kind of round of profit-taking driven. Primarily by Broadcom here, they reported after the close yesterday, and I guess good, but not good enough in terms of their earnings. That's what's weighing on things. Broadcom reported after the close, they beat analyst estimates on both earnings and revenue, and of course, you look at the stock now. Last time I looked at it, it was down over 15%, down 15.34% at the moment. Like I said, they beat on top line and revenue. I guess kind of a bit unfair, but just wasn't good enough. So we'll take a deeper look into their earnings later in the show. But it's one of those deals where from a go forward outlook, things look good for Broadcom. It just in this sense, you've got some profit taking or some selling pressure, not quite good enough for analysts here. So, but before kind of getting too deep into the happenings of today. Let's take a look at how the market finished up yesterday. We had seemed somewhat of a lazy day, really, in the markets yesterday. We had tons of economic releases lately, particularly around the jobs picture. We'll dive into some of those later in the show, but everything kind of equated to yesterday, kind of a round of profit taking. What's been a where we've been on an 11-week win streak in the S&P 500, so I guess it's gotta have some profits. Can't go up every day, I guess here. So yesterday we had the S&P 500 was down 0.7%. The Dow led the way down 1.2%. Like I said, it's up 1.5 at the moment, so gaining some of that back and a little extra. We've got the NASDAQ was down almost 1% yesterday, 0.9%, as we had, like I said, we had some profit taking in those AI adjacent names. Of course, we had some reports of fresh strikes between the U.S. and Iran. We had, ceasefire, technically is still in place, even though they're lobbing projectiles at each other. We had a good bit of activity in Kuwait. I saw where I guess one of their major airports was hit. Seemed like it was hit pretty handedly. Of course, that shot oil up around $98 yesterday. That's pulled back some today, so maybe cooler heads are going to prevail at some point, and so we'll see how that plays out. And we also had a good bit of economic news yesterday, particularly on the jobs front, like I said. But really the story, no matter what economic releases come out, the story has really been driven certainly by the fragile Iran ceasefire, and continues to do so from a global economic level. And the effects are beginning to show up around the globe, particularly in Europe and emerging market economies. As we've seen, kind of the longer the conflict with Iran goes on, the greater kind of the effects that we're seeing, particularly starting to show up already in the European economy and some of their economic releases over the last couple of days. Part of it's a problem they created themselves in terms of some of the green initiatives and kind of pinning their energy hopes on Russian gas. But nonetheless, they're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place, really. Currently they're kind of between the prospects of a slower economic growth and rising inflation cost, mostly induced by energy prices rising double digits from the conflict most recently, obviously conflict in Iran. They've got potential of negative GDP and 4% inflation rate are very likely for the Eurozone. Yesterday's readings, I believe the PMI composite for the Euro area decreased to 84.5 points. I believe, an 18-month low level for the Eurozone. And, the Eurozone at one point, particularly when you included the UK in the economy, was actually the largest economy in the world. I think now that it's broken up and you've got, obviously, the UK after Brexit, I believe the U.S. economy is still, back to the largest economic zone. But they've got, they've got prospects of essentially inflation running close to 4%. Energy costs up over 11% during that period. So, you've got potentially a contraction in GDP in the Eurozone coming up. Close to kind of some of the estimates, potentially a 0.2% GDP decline for the area. So they've got, they're in this mess of slow economic growth and, in the need to raise interest rates to combat inflation. So both of those, raising rates as economic activity is weakening is not a, not a solution not a solution for growth. So, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Like I said, the longer that goes on, the more troublesome it's going to be for the Eurozone. And, just from a comparison standpoint, if you want to look at, S&P is up, 10% year to date. The NASDAQ is up, 15%, year to date. Of course, you've got the Nikkei in Japan hitting all-time highs, up over 33% in 2026. We've got the Kospi, which is the South Korean stock market's more than doubled, so far this year. It's at, it's been hitting, all-time highs there. And of course, you've got the French market up, up 1%. You've got the DAX in Germany up 1.5%, and the UK up 4% comparatively to other parts of the world. So they've got certainly some headwinds there economically and domestically in a lot of different ways in the Euro area. Of course, the biggest issue for them is, of course, is oil has gone up 65% in 2026. That's certainly been a headwind for them, and obviously a tailwind for inflation in the area. We've also seen inflation around the globe. I mean, you've seen emerging market economies are already beginning to raise rates. You've had, I believe, Indonesia, South Africa, a couple of your African nations who have raised rates or plan to in the coming month. Currently, we've got the Dow continuing to push higher. It's I got to check and see if that's an all-time high, but it's up 746 points. That's almost 1.5% at the moment. S&P 500 is basically flat, down 4 points at the moment. NASDAQ, we've seen some sell-off, as we talked about, the Broadcom earnings kind of weighing on, particularly on the AI sector. NASDAQ down 0.77% at the moment. As we were talking about Iran earlier, we've got crude oil down about 4% today, so looks to be maybe a source of some quietness there. We'll continue to get information as it comes in fairly erratically. Well, we've had a ton, tons of economic releases this week come in, kind of getting overshadowed by the Iran conflict, as likely should. But we've discussed some of the issues facing Europe. Also, looking at the U.S., we'll just kind of refer to it as Jobs Week this week. We've already received the ADP report, the JOLTS report yesterday. That's the job openings report. Today we've got, of course, it's Thursday, so we've got the initial jobless claims figures. And also get the Challenger survey, which are essentially planned announced layoffs. So we'll start kind of in the jobless claims area. So we've claims ended May 30th, increased 13,000 to 225. Consensus was 214, so we came in a little higher than expected. Still nothing we see there from that scares us. The 4 week moving average is, just under 215K. I think we've mentioned a good number, good time before. 300K is really where, when you begin to start seeing some deterioration in the labor market. And, on the good front, continuing claims declined at a 1.77 million, that came in, under consensus. So, folks that had been on jobless claims have actually coming off of it. So, still very benign there in terms of the initial jobless claims figures. We also received the Challenger survey. So this is the one that measures planned job cut announcements. So this has been an interesting one where, some of the potential AI job replacement would show up. Of course, tech companies have mostly been driving this report over the last couple of years. We've heard, had different periodic announcements of layoffs in the tech world, whether it was the likes of Meta, Amazon, I think Microsoft, U.S. employers, I guess, announced 97,000 job cuts in May. That's a 16% month-over-month increase. It's also the highest increase since May of 2020, which is when a lot of jobs were cut due to the pandemic. If you look at it on a year-to-year basis, it's only a 3% year-over-year increase, so it's not very significant from there. We haven't seen the kind of worrisome job loss that AI was going to replace all of our jobs, so we still haven't, aren't seeing that here. It's pretty interesting, actually. In terms of the job cuts, we had a lot of led by tech jobs. You had sector announced 38,000 job cuts in May and from the tech sector. Of course, year to date, they've had 123,000 announced job cuts. That's up 66% from the same period a year ago. The interesting thing is, they're firing people, but on the other side of that, they actually led hiring. They led hiring in May with 11,000 announced positions. So, I guess as they send some out the door, they're bringing in other job applicants in the front door. So, pretty interesting dynamic there. The point being is we really haven't seen the big bulk of jobs losing jobs due to some of these AI technologies here. Yesterday we got the ADP report, which is it was also a positive sign. It's the measure of private sector employment. It actually increased 122,000 in May. Consensus I think was 120,000. And actually worker pay, increased 4.4%. So, I guess wage growth is tracking ahead of inflation, even though we have had some increased inflation. And I guess on the good side of things, wages are tracking above that. From the survey, hiring, was quoted here. Hiring was more broad-based in May than we've seen in the last few years. The labor market continues to show sustained momentum going into the summer hiring season. So, from that standpoint, as Bill and I have mentioned, from an economic standpoint, regardless of, some of the pessimism we've seen in the consumer sentiment survey, veil of pessimism, depending on what news station someone watches. Underneath the surface, though, the economy seems to be continuing to hold up pretty nicely. And we had factory orders rose more than expected in April. Services sector expanded more than expected in May. So. We continue to see some green shoots here in the economy, and certainly I think if our take is if we can kind of get the Strait of Hormuz loosened up a bit, then that should provide an initial another tailwind for the economy, and certainly we'll reduce energy costs and kind of other slack in the economy that we're seeing from an inflation standpoint. So that's kind of the lay of the land. Like I said, we had just a ton of jobs information this week, and we've been kind of sifting through and wanted to give folks an update in where we're at there.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Market-wise, still a mixed open. We've got the Dow up 1.36% at the moment. I think it was getting close to an all-time high. I've got to check that here on the break or after the show. But S&P down basically flat. About as flat as you can get at the moment. The NASDAQ here down, gotten a little better since we started the show, just down 0.62% at the moment. Good news is crude oil down 3.5% at the moment. So, hopefully, we'll get some good news on the front, over there in the Strait of Hormuz. Been one of these things, with Broadcom where, sometimes in the earnings world, it's good, but not good enough. I guess if I don't know if we've all had that, teacher or coach, you can never quite do good enough. They keep holding the carrot out, further and further for you. And I think, from Broadcom's perspective, that's just kind of where they find themselves after, you know, a good earnings release yesterday after the close. Stock currently is down, 14.5%. It's been down as much as a little over 15 at one point. I saw earlier this morning, but from an earnings perspective, reported $2.44 per share. Revenue rose 48% year over year to a record number of $22.19 billion. Their revenue from semiconductors was up 79% year over year, and of course beat all of the earnings estimates. Company was expected to earn $2.39 a share. They came in at $2.44, they really beat revenue not by much. I mean, that's probably, I guess, if you're going to look at this report find something to pick at, I guess, you know, they only beat revenue by, you know, maybe, I guess it's, you know, $60 million. Like I said, they still had a total record revenue of $22.2 billion. Like I said, up 48% year over year and above guidance. But just not quite far enough. I mean, from a segment standpoint, they continued to have record revenue. I think around $15 billion, tied to AI semiconductor revenue, which is also up 49%. The worst, I guess, the worst part of the report had to do somewhere around that they potentially may have some gross margin decline over time as the margins aren't quite as great on some of the AI semiconductor areas, and so if they continue to sell more, that continues to become more and more of the business, then the overall margins will potentially compress a bit, which could impact earnings, or at least impact earnings growth. But that's not anything we've seen in this quarter. That's something that they potentially may show down the line. But bottom line is the company has $10.3 billion in free cash flow for the quarter. So not a bad number. Don't know exactly what they're going to do with all that cash, but they've got, when we look at, on the fundamental analysis side, when we look at, companies, a free cash flow number of 10 plus billion, reminds me kind of the Apple heyday days where they were stacking cash up, earnings report after earnings report. In terms of the Best Stocks Now app, when we look at Broadcom, and Broadcom's a name we own, so we're being impacted by Broadcom being down almost 15% today. So it's a name we own, for full disclosure. But on a valuation basis, our 5-year Bill's 5-year price target on Broadcom is $910. So that's going to be, over what, 100% return over the next 5-year span. So, value grade there is an A-. Let's see. If we look at, total ranking currently, and this of course is going to be as of yesterday, Broadcom was ranked 5th out of, 5,219, names that we track there. So, a name that we like, in our opinion, kind of certainly had a big run up. In this case, it's given some of that gain back that it's had over the last month. Like I said, in our opinion, from an earnings standpoint, kind of things remain as is. So it might be a good potential place to buy some Broadcom on the dip here. So we'll reassess that one, Bill. Once we get these earnings releases, Bill goes back into his lair and gets on the spreadsheet and starts crunching some numbers. So He'll be digesting this earnings report over the next few days. So it could be, never know, an article here down the road, but we'll see what happens there. Other big news is in the IPO, IPO world, this year's supposed to be it's going to be an expected big year for IPO activity. And of course, we've gotten, questions from clients on SpaceX. Obviously, we're going to have Anthropic and OpenAI, likely IPOing in 2026. We just had Google raise, $80 billion in the equity market. So it doesn't qualify as an IPO, but that's certainly a big equity raise. And yesterday, SpaceX unveiled plans on essentially what will likely be the largest IPO in history. Looking to raise $75 billion. That's they're going to issue roughly 555 million shares at $135 each. So as IPOs go, essentially whatever that price is at is what SpaceX is going to get. So they'll get $135, dollars a share that they can use to continue to grow the company. Of course, who knows what the stock will end up trading at. And, it's likely going to be very oversubscribed and will likely have a significant pop early on. The question is, once the lockup period for SpaceX is over, what is that, what is that equilibrium price still come to? The ticker symbol is going to be SPCX. So once that comes out, Bill will end up adding that to the app. Of course, at $135 a share, essentially valuing the company at $1.77 trillion, or as we like to say around the office, 1,000 times revenue. I think their revenue was it's $18 billion last year. So if you're valuing the company at $1.77 trillion, it's essentially 1,000 times revenue. So pretty historic stuff when it comes to the IPO world. Saudi Aramco at one point in time is the record IPO. That was IPO'd in 2019. I think they raised $29.4 billion. So if the SpaceX raises 75, they're going to surpass that record, pretty easily. Some interesting takeaways, obviously, is what are they going to do with the money, right? Number one, and they're going, the plan is to expand, their artificial intelligence operations. So essentially investing in AI. Obviously the launch services, from a rocket standpoint, and also, expand, the Starlink network. They're also going to use some of the money, looks like to pay off a bridge loan within the next 6 months. So they owe, $20 billion on a bridge loan that they'll, the proceeds from the capital raise will pay off. We've got still a mixed market. Not much has changed. The good news is, I think we started out the show with the Nasdaq down about 1%. Currently down just under 0.6%. S&P still dead flat, and Dow leading the way today up 1.37%. And crude oil staying below. Right there about 93, just under $93, down 3% today. And, Bitcoin again just has had a big headwind as of late. I think Strategy was selling some Bitcoin, and that's kind of caused some of this latest pullback. You've got well below 65 now. You're at 65,000. You're at 63,863. So, roughly, basically half of where it got to, its high, right around 125-ish thousand. So, interesting dynamic there. I've heard, I think the U.S. has been kind of cracking down on some cryptocurrency networks from Iran. I don't know if that has to do with some of the, pullback in some of these some of the crypto space, but, It's been pretty big deal there. Of course, you know, if you'd like to, like to get a hold of Bill's newsletter, you can go to GundersonCapital.com. You can sign up for the 4-week trial. You'll get the full gamut of information. You'll get the client newsletter. You'll get, Bill's live trading alerts for 4 weeks and, have access to the app and get, learn what we're doing behind the scenes and how he's managing the portfolios that we run. Of course, if you'd like to have a discussion with myself, we're happy to take a look, see where you're at from a portfolio allocation standpoint, any financial planning needs you may have. You're welcome to give Edie a call at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-2378. Always here to be a resource, and Edie will, you'll be talking to Edie there, and she'll get you coordinated, get you on the calendar, get you time to chat. So always love hearing from folks. That's kind of the primary gig here at the firm. Of course, last thing on this huge SpaceX IPO is, it was interesting to see kind of, Bill has talked about them. Part of the thesis is obviously putting data centers in space, and, in their disclosure, they actually mention, they're looking to go beyond the traditional aerospace markets, including satellite broadband services, direct-to-cell wireless communications, and AI infrastructure, with long-term ambitions that include supporting future lunar operations and eventually enabling human settlement on Mars. So I guess I don't know how much money it takes to do all of that, but I guess initially evaluating the company at $1.7 trillion is a start. So it'll be interesting to watch that unveil over time, and of course we'll be following it closely with a lot of our clients. We've of course had a lot of questions, in regards to it as we continue to approach it. Our take a lot of times on these IPOs, particular ones that are going to be oversubscribed. I take the Facebook example, right? From years and years ago, that was probably, one of the hottest IPOs at the time, one of the hottest IPOs in history. No one began making much money in Facebook for, probably a year and a half. If you look at the chart, it kind of took off. Usually most of these IPOs, certain, groups, insiders have to keep the stock for a certain period of time, what's known as a lockup period. So once those lockup periods, end, then you tend to have a lot of supply, a lot of shares come on the market. Folks want to go ahead and liquidate and realize, their return, that they've had, money locked up in these private companies for a period of time, and they like the liquidity as well. So you tend to have a big run up in the stock. Once the lockup period ends, you usually have some resistance level hit and fall back down to a more kind of what we'd consider more of an equilibrium type level. And once that happens, that's when, a lot of times where Bill's using, begins to have more confidence in, the output from the app. Because we got, number one, you get kind of that first earnings call is always an interesting one, because as a private company, they don't have to have these public earnings calls. So it's always, it always gives you some insight in terms of, what's under the hood, what's really happening with the company. And it's going to be interesting, whether it's SpaceX or Anthropic or OpenAI, it's going to be interesting to see just what, their level of spending, actually is. It's going to be a unique period. It's going to give us some insights in terms of, you know, what's the length or legs of this, you know, AI build out? My guess is this AI, you know, length of this AI build out is going to be, you know, longer than a lot of folks are anticipating. And of course, you know, we keep getting more and more announcements of, you know, Amazon spending $200 billion on the build out. We saw Google raise, you know, an additional, I think it's $80 billion from an equity sale too. You know, to build out AI infrastructure. So it takes a lot of money floating out there. A lot of money is going to be, you know, SpaceX is going to soak up a lot of investor money. So it'll be interesting to see how these three IPOs play out over what, you know, what's likely going to all occur in 2026. It'll, you know, be an interesting story from a risk perspective. Sure, there's going to be lots of case studies done on these IPOs, probably coming to a college class or a doctoral thesis near you. So we appreciate you taking the time to listen to today's Best Stocks Now show. If you've got if you'd like to reach out to us, feel free, GundersonCapital.com, or you can call us at 855-611-BEST. And have a great day, everyone.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.